All right, if you would, go ahead and open up in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We'll start where we, in the same text we kind of finished with last time. Just give a few reminders of the things that were there, and then we'll continue on to talk about some of the barriers to sexual intimacy, because we talked about the positive scriptural commands concerning this, but you and I both know that if it was just a matter of, okay, there's the commands, let's put them into practice, that not only this area, but most of the Christian life would be a snap, right? Piece of cake, we can do that. But there are all kinds of barriers, sinful barriers, physical barriers, all kinds of things that happen to keep us from truly honoring the Lord in this extremely important aspect of marriage. And we've been trying to see over and over that this is not a minor topic, it's not a minor issue. Now, again, you already know that because of the kind of weight that it has on your marriage, but it will do you no good to minimize sexual intimacy in order to think that you will deal with the problems therein. You won't. It's not good to minimize it because Scripture doesn't minimize it, and it must not, cannot be minimized in your marriage. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, now concerning the things which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman because of immoralities. Each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does, and likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another except by agreement for a time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. And come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of control. And again, we kind of got underneath this. And remember that the language there is, you know, Paul is just kind of tersely, you know, getting through the truth. But there's so much more involved there in what it means to truly be fulfilling our duty, our joyful delight towards one another in this area of sexual intimacy. And I'm just going to review for you just very briefly the principles that we have already laid out, that sexuality is designed by God as a way to know Him more fully. This is not an accident, and it is all over the Bible. It is all over the New Testament, all over the Old Testament, where this whole idea of physical and sexual intimacy is used so that we get a better picture of what it means to be intimate with God. Not that it is a sexual thing or an erotic thing with God, but that is the picture that is used because that is the strongest picture for us. And so we see it, and then transcending that, or even above that, or I guess on equal par with that, is the fact that when we engage in physical intimacy within marriage, sexual intimacy within marriage, we are doing that which enables us to experience the pleasure that the Lord would have and to honor Him in that way together, that this is a joyful duty and privilege we have towards one another, and therefore a means of finding joy and glory in the eyes of God. So sexuality is designed by God as a way to know Him more fully. Also, knowing God is designed by God as a means of guarding and guiding our sexuality. We'll see that even more clearly this morning. That if the proper bounds of sexual intimacy are to be maintained, there must be an ever-increasing knowledge of God. And this is where most every sexually intimate relationship goes wrong, is that there has been a stunting of spiritual growth. That somewhere there is a hardness of heart against God or refusal to grow on the part of one or other spouse. That's almost always what happens. And when we saw how important this was as it related to Romans chapter 1, remember, that really the base rejection of God, the external symbol of rejection of God that is most clearly demonstrated in the world is what? Sexual morality. So clearly it is important to God, and clearly when we reject God, what happens is at our core, the sexual nature of who we are, we reject God's control of that and we try to control it ourselves. It is the deepest physical act that we can perform in rebellion against the Holy God when we use it improperly. Right? It, in one sense, it doesn't cause any, it's no more greater penalty from God than any sin, in the sense that God sees all sin as that which would alienate from Him. But Scripture is clear, and even in 1 Corinthians 6, where it says this is a sin that is a sin against your own body, against your very nature as God created it. So that was kind of our two opening principles, and then we talked about several other important principles. Exalting God puts sexuality in its proper place, that sex and marriage is pure and holy, that sexual intimacy is not the basis of marriage, and yet it is a vital component of it, that the primary goal of the sexual relationship is what? To give. It's not to get, it is to provide, it's to give to another the joy that God would have given to them. That we looked at the fact that from this text, God has created both husband and wife with equal ability to satisfy each other. Huge problems caused there when it's like, somehow God didn't make me like that. I cannot satisfy you. Within the proper bounds and with a proper understanding, yes, each partner can satisfy the other. And that's so important to know that Scripture dictates this. Right? That pleasure in sexual intimacy is not sinful and forbidden, but rather assured and encouraged, and really seems to be the foundation upon which sexual intimacy was developed. Procreation is also a part of it. But that companionship, intimacy together, seems to be the primary reason for which this kind of intimacy was developed. Because, you guys, God could have designed this in any way that he wanted. Procreation could happen in any way. And yet he designed it this way. So the pleasure experience between husband and wife is that which is an expression of their intimacy and then ultimately the love of God. And then we saw that sexual intimacy is to be regular and continuous. It's to be regular and continuous. Now, again, really flowing out of all of that, we know most of the problems, don't we? It isn't regular and continuous often. It isn't seen as joyful. It's sometimes seen as forbidden or dirty. It is one partner does not please the other or refuses to please the other, says that they can't please the other. They don't think it's pure and holy. It isn't even a part of some marriages or it is kind of set aside in some marriages. And of course then that a rejection of God or a rejection of spiritual growth causes ever increasing problems in this area. But what I'd like to do is look at these barriers from two different directions. One, a more general direction. We've done some of that already, but I want to look at some scriptural principles and relate them directly to sexual intimacy, because these are principles that cause problems in every area of your marriage and in every area of your life. But I want to relate them directly there so that you will get that tie. It just seems like we constantly have to fight to remember that when we lack spiritually, we lack physically. And when we lack spiritually in any area that God commands for us to be holy before him in, then our physical intimacy, our true enjoyment of that with one another, is going to suffer. All right. So some of the general barriers, that would be A. These are things that will cause your sexual intimacy together to be marred or harmed or to be unpleasurable, a variety of things. One, a lack of experiential knowledge. And remember, this is general spiritual principles here. All right, we'll work to the physical aspects there. I'm not talking about not knowing about each other's bodies. That comes later, and that's a huge problem. But here, experiential knowledge is experiential knowledge of God. It is knowledge of God that is actually lived. And that's what we're learning about in Ephesians chapter 1, and of course, or Ephesians chapter 3. And that's why I put it first here, because it's foremost on my mind. Most of you sitting here have all kinds of information about God. Many of you have grown up in the church. And so you know all of these things, and yet your sexual intimacy in your marriage is a mess, many of you. Right? And so why? Because you are not experientially living out the knowledge that you know, and it is you are wrestling and then struggling in this area of physical intimacy. And again, some of you may not be. That's fine. And I hope if you're sitting here going, man, he's just not us. Great. All right, I hope that's true. But again, it's pretty rare that there aren't any problems at all. It happens, and it's wonderful, but it is pretty rare. Right? So we want to. I'm approaching this from the standpoint that nearly everyone will experience some kind of barrier in sexual intimacy over the course of their marriage. In fact, I would pretty much have to say everyone. But you guys, a lack of knowledge of God that is lived out, that is actually experienced, that is put into practice, Ephesians 3:16. Paul's prayer is what? That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to what? To be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. Guys, that if you don't have that, if your inner man is shriveling, your ability to enjoy sexual intimacy, to be pure, to be holy, and to enjoy that is shriveled as well. And the two are tied together. You're just not going to be able to enjoy one another properly, even if you get the physical pleasure, because your inner man is shriveled. As to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Is that the kind of sexual intimacy you experience together, an overflow of the love of God pouring out of you into each other in this act of sexual intimacy? That's what's happening. Very often it isn't. And so therefore, this act is, sexual intimacy is stunted, it is hasty, it is painful sometimes. So you need that experiential knowledge of Christ. You need to be living it out. Guys, you need it experientially in your sexual intimacy together. Very great place to actually put into practice the knowledge of God that you have in your head. Next is spiritual immaturity. And these are all really facets of the same thing, right? But nonetheless, I'll break them apart a little bit. Spiritual immaturity. A lack of character and maturity that keep you from properly exercising sexual intimacy. You guys? It is immaturity that leads to a lot of these problems. Men, women, just simply spiritually immature. And so they cannot deal with the problems and difficulties and the complexities of relating together with one another in this way because they lack spiritual maturity. Immature people, contrary to what you see all over television and all over the movies, are the worst at sexual intimacy. the worst. We're not going to see that in the movies. It's all the young, you know, young people jumping into bed and doing all that stuff, and it looks all great. Trust me. The cameras aren't, that's not real anyway, but the cameras aren't there after. The cameras aren't there before. The cameras don't pick up all the destruction that's going on there. My wife and I will often tell each other, you know, well, you never see any of this on camera. this never gets shown. And, you know, this stuff, it doesn't go the way it's supposed to all the time. It just, you know, and yet, working with the complexities of the spiritual life as related to sexual intimacy. Guys, if you're immature, you can't do it. And so you blow up, you burn out, you do all kinds of foolish things when it comes to this. You cannot afford to be immature, men or women. Right? And remember, the immaturity, as we'll see very clearly, expresses itself in different ways usually in men and women. Oftentimes in men, their immaturity is an improper kind of lustful desire for their wife and fantasies and visions of sexual things, of physical things. Whereas for the wife, their immaturity tends to be in that they don't think about their husbands, they don't put them before their mind, they don't desire their husbands. It all tends to be in a different arena. It's still immaturity. It's not more mature to not desire to be physically intimate. It's not more mature to lustfully desire to be physically intimate. Right, this takes great maturity, and you need to be mature. Philippians 1:9. You guys, you should mark this verse. You should memorize this verse. You should underline this verse. When it comes to love, this should be a light verse for you. Philippians 1:9, another prayer of Paul's. He says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound." That sounds great, right? "Still more and more in real knowledge." That's that experiential knowledge. "In real knowledge and all discernment." That's how your love is to abound. And in your sexual intimacy, your love is abound to real knowledge, all discernment, knowing how to love each other well and how to experience sexual intimacy with each other well. Real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. And you think that doesn't apply to your physical and sexual intimacy? You need abounding wisdom, abounding discernment, so that you will keep from sin in this area. Right? And again, it applies to all the other ones, of course, but I'm just focusing specifically on this one. So a lack of experiential knowledge, a lack of God, a lack of spiritual immaturity will keep you from this. Of course, a lack of holiness. But what I mean really by that, that's number three, a lack of holiness, is a fog of ungodly behavior in all areas of life that keeps you from experiencing the joy and purity of the marriage bed. You see, all those little impurities, all that little junk that you add into your life, and all those little compromises that you make on things that are impure and unholy, whether it be in sexual things or in others, as we will see, clouds and makes it more and more difficult for you to actually experience the joy of sexual intimacy together, because it all weighs upon your mind, it weighs upon your heart, and all of that has to do with your experience of pleasure, true spiritual pleasure and joy of sexual intimacy. Because remember, all those are related together. Spiritual intimacy, emotional intimacy, sexual intimacy, they're related. And so all those areas of unholiness, you're killing your sexual intimacy. Now again, I'm only focusing on that because that's what we're talking about. I could be doing anything else, but I'm just going to say that over and over. This is the area we're talking about. And so when you have holiness, when you are allowing lingering levels, and you think, well, that's fine, I'm as holy as I need to be. Not in order to please and love your wife or your husband as you need to when it comes to sexual intimacy or not. My level of holiness is fine with me. I'm okay. It's not okay. And the reason you don't experience the joy and love of God to a greater degree is because you have all these layers of unholy behavior and actions and thinking that you just allow to pour into your life, and you think it doesn't matter. And it does. And it's impacting every part of your life. You can't afford not to be holy. Because when you are not holy, then you aren't loving God, and then you can't love your spouse, and you can't love others. See, we live with this comfortable level of unholiness in our media, in our thoughts, in our relationships that has to go. And a huge area where this is represented is in the ability to have a true, joyful sexual intimacy together. It's huge. It's huge no matter what. But again, what are you letting? What are you letting stay in your life? What level of holiness are you comfortable with? It's impacting you everywhere, and particularly here. 1 Peter 1:22. Listen very carefully here. 1 Peter 1:22. "Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart." See, we all just want to say, I just want to fervently love one another from the heart. You're all believers here. Don't you want to do that? "Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, now fervently love." See, we forget part one. Purifying your soul. Okay? You have, in obedience to the truth, the truth of Scripture, Where are you impure? What attitudes of anger, bitterness, frustration, discouragement, despair are you allowing to stay within your heart that you aren't dealing with? It certainly will be killing your sexual intimacy, along with every area of your life. What areas of media do you allow just kind of this lingering fog of immorality that you're just happy with, that you can just watch and see, and it doesn't even bother you? Trust me, it's affecting you. What level of inattention to your spouse are you just going? That's unholiness, by the way, when you are inattentive of them and not putting them before your mind. What level of inattentiveness are you allowing that is destroying you in this area? Now, before I go on, does this sound like a lot of work? Does this sound like, whoa, you know, Chris, you're piling on pretty heavy right here at the very beginning, and we're never going to have physical intimacy, we're not even going to get there, right? Guys, this takes the great power of God. That's why you have it. And so you got to come to, if you weren't at the first service, you got to come to the second, because we're going to talk about that. And then you got to come to the next five services, because we're going to talk about how you get this power. All right? But guys, I'm not piling on. I'm just telling you what Scripture tells you. Spiritual maturity, lack of holiness. Oh, here's a huge one. Very often, well, I think always at some level, there's a wrestle in sexual intimacy because of laziness. Just pure, total sluggardliness on the part of both men and women. Both are lazy in this area. Okay? Proverbs 13:4. Let me just read. Oh, your spiritual sluggardliness leads to every kind of laziness, which causes you to be unable to exert the effort necessary to experience joy in sexual intimacy. And remember, sluggardliness always is an internal issue that flows out in external problems. Often the book of Proverbs goes at it the opposite way, from external to internal, but it is always an internal problem. A laziness of mind and heart, a laziness of inner man that leads to an external laziness. It's not just, well, you know, I don't like to work very hard. There's a heart problem. You know, the slugger doesn't, you know, he's not able to raise his hand to his bowl. Why? He's got a heart problem. It's not just a hand problem, all right, that he can't get there. All right, so let me read you a couple of verses, and here's kind of the setting for this idea of being a soul problem, a heart problem. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. Do you long to be intimate with your husband or wife? Do you long to be able to please them and honor them in sexual intimacy, giving them the glory and the joy of that? Then you're going to have to work. You're not going to just desire that. There's not most likely there isn't anyone here married here who's saying, "Wives, I don't desire any pleasure out of sexual intimacy at all." Now, I notice I didn't say you don't desire sexual intimacy at all. But if you were to have it, you would want pleasure out of it. A lot of times that's not why you're doing it, because you're not doing it because you don't get any pleasure out of it. But if you were to do it, you want pleasure out of it. The soul of the diligent is made fat. The soul of the diligent then is able to receive the proper pleasure from the proper things, because they work in the proper way. You know, lazy men that just want to get something from their wife real quick. Doesn't work out real well in sexual intimacy, guys. Lazy women that just don't want to think about their husbands at all, they're tired and busy, and they don't want to put in the effort to engage with him. It's not going to work out very well. You guys know this. You know this. But laziness is huge. And Proverbs 21:25, if there's any issue when I'm doing marriage counseling and things, and there's issues in the area of sexual intimacy, Proverbs 21:25, the desire of the sluggard puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work. Just burning up with desire to have this. I wish I could have it. I wish I could have the pleasure. Why aren't we intimate? Why can't we get this? Because you're lazy. That's why you don't get it. And it kills the sluggard, because he wants it. It doesn't remove his desire for it. But he can't get it because he is so lazy. And so it just burns him up. Burns him up with whatever it might be. And in this case, lust. He burns with it, but he can't. Okay, he won't approach it properly. Proverbs 26:13. The sluggard says there's a lion in the road. A lion is in the open square. What does that mean? Fearful. And oftentimes I find, ladies, this is your greatest wrestle. Fearful. Difficult things have happened. Things have been unpleasant or painful. And so there's a fear there. I won't go there because I'm afraid. There's a lion in the square. I make my excuse because I'm afraid of what might happen. That's what the sluggard does. He won't get up and get out of his house because he's afraid of the lion that doesn't actually exist, or that could be overcome. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be content. I can have power. And so this is a huge problem for the sluggard, is they're afraid. And they aren't taking hold of the power of God. And particularly in sexual intimacy, sometimes this fear, sometimes these things started either before marriage many times, or in the first week of the honeymoon, as we've talked about before, and there was a fearfulness and a difficulty that built up from that, and either the wife or the husband refused to go there. Because it's just laziness. It's not just laziness. It is partially laziness. is hard to overcome fear. So the sluggard never does. He won't go fight the lion, or he won't go see that the lion isn't actually there, what he thought was there. In Proverbs 26, there's two more verses that it just goes right from that one. There's a lion in the road, a lion in the open square. As the door turns on its hinges, so the sluggard does on his bed. It's back and forth. I think we've talked about that. You know, it's like the snooze alarm, boom, back. Snooze alarm, boom, back. All right, it's back and forth. And he never goes out the other way to get out of bed. But in your sexual intimacy, you do the same thing. You're too lazy, and so you never actually accomplish what is necessary. The sluggard buries his head in his dish. He's weary of bringing it to his mouth again. Yeah. Can't even get it there. You know, it's so lazy. Hey, you see, my children want to eat this way. You know, I just want to stick it there. You know, you want your sexual intimacy, but you're not willing to do it. You might just want to stick it in. I just want to get it. Really? You're going to have to work. Spiritual, godly, lovely, fantastic work, but nonetheless, work. Pride kills you, of course. Because this shows up in so many ways. Ladies, maybe you desire for your body to look a certain way, or you want it to be presentable in certain ways, and so you feel uncomfortable, particularly as you get older, and don't engage with me. I don't look the way I want to look, and I'm not comfortable with myself, and you kind of keep your husband at arm's length. It's just pride. On your side. Maybe there's been other problems than others, but I'm taking these one at a time, okay? It's pride. Open up your body to your husband. Whether it's large or small, whether it's too skinny or too fat, whether it doesn't work. Husband's the same. Husbands can be very arrogant in this way as well. But you guys, it's just pride. And you shouldn't have that kind of competition with one another. One doesn't look the way that it should, so I don't want him to see it. What? What? He's your husband. She's your wife. They're able to and supposed to be able to see it. And I realize that the husband's arrogance or the wife's arrogance can be the reason that you're responding in the way you are. Pride back. You got some competition going. That's what happens. You guys, put it away. But he's not going to put it away till you put it away, ladies. She's not going to put it away till you put it away, men. Put away the pride. Man, you got pride in this area. I mean, you know, I can't perform the way that I want. I can't provide what I think I should be able to give. So it becomes this whole self-pity thing, and I can't, you know. It's just pride. You need to set it aside and open yourselves up to each other. Like I said, they don't show that stuff on camera when it doesn't go well, when you weren't able to do what you wanted to do, when it just was just not pretty. They don't show it. And that's a lot of sexual intimacy, isn't it? Okay, just not pretty the way it's supposed to go. And yet, that is the way it's supposed to go. That's the way it works. That's why you have a lifetime. Oh, doing bad today, you got tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day. Right, guys, you have time. Use it. Don't be proud. Philippians 2, 3 to 4. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Nothing, not even sexual intimacy. Nothing from selfishness or empty. Remember we talked about that empty conceit? What does that mean? It's vainglory. It means any attempt you would have at pride is just absolutely, totally out of proportion to who you actually are, because you are nothing. So really saying you can't ever have any pride about anything, because nothing you have is yours, nothing you've been given, or nothing you have is what other than what you have received from God. So what are you proud about? I'm good at my work. God made you good at your work. He gave you your life and breath to get up and go to work today. You don't get anything. So every ounce of pride is vainglory. Do nothing from selfishness or vain conceit, because everything is vain conceit if you take it for yourself. But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And again, the focus there is the interests of others is what drives me, and that's how I get, really, even my own personal interests met. You want to give to your wife and provide for her. Wives, you want to just provide for your husbands in this area of sexual intimacy, just providing for them and giving to them. You find pleasure there. Sometimes you get pleasure back in return. Sometimes you don't, but you find the pleasure in giving. And laying your life down in that particular area, and you go away saying, you know what? Didn't have the greatest pleasure that time, but I gave my life away. Man, that was a joy. I was able to give at this deepest physical level, and I found it the greatest joy. Even though I didn't respond, I gave my life. Guys, wouldn't that be a blessing? That's what we need to be. Abusive marriage roles. When the husband doesn't want to love his wife like Christ loved the church, when the wife refuses to submit as the church submits to Christ, there certainly is no harmony in sexual intimacy. Which is why we went at marriage roles first. Because a breakdown in marriage roles and understanding what the husband is to be and the wife is to be will always destroy sexual intimacy. Always. You have to live according to your role so that you know how you're supposed to respond to each other, so that at this level, which really, you know, physical intimacy is a good indicator of how well the marriage roles are going. When, again, when there are not other issues involved. And I can almost always tell. I don't really have to ask about the marriage bed up front. All I have to ask about is, well, you know, so how are your roles in marriage? They're terrible. So is your marriage bed, usually. Except for maybe brief periods of time. It's usually not very good. Selfishness then, which really is pride. Selfishness, which was addressed in Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Abuse of marriage roles is, of course, Ephesians chapter 5, 22 through 31. All right, so those are some of the general barriers. All right, and notice I chose to relate all of those directly, and there's many more ways, because now we're going to try to get at it from some very specific things. All right, that was general, all right, purposeful, because what happens when I move to the specific? I miss your problem. When I stay at the general level to start with, these general scriptural principles, I got y'all. Because Scripture's got y'all. And maybe I missed a scriptural principle here, but pride got y'all anyway, so you're stuck. Okay. Nobody made it through that one when it comes to sexual intimacy. Nobody, because you self-pity here, all the things that go on. So I got y'all. But now we'll get as specific as we can and just try to talk a little bit about some of the ways that you might overcome these things. Just a little. And you're going to need to talk to others if you cannot overcome this, if you are wrestling to work through some of these things. And by the way, if things are going really great and you're like, man, you know, all these principles, we're there. That's our marriage. Good. I need you. I want to talk with you because I want you to talk to other people. And besides, I want to learn a little from you myself. Hey, that's great. I'm not assuming massive problems in everyone or massive problems anywhere, but some problems probably everywhere. So here's some of the things that happen, some of the specific barriers to physical intimacy are, one, physical barriers. And again, these don't break down all under perfect categories. I was just doing the best I could to kind of give some pictures of this. Ignorance. And you might say, that's a mental barrier. But what I mean is ignorance about other people's or about your spouse's body. I mean, I've talked to men, older men, who have no idea how their spouse's body works. That's a problem. And it is going to cause problems in physical intimacy because, men, your wife's body doesn't look like or work like yours. And ladies, your husband's body doesn't look like or work like yours. Particularly there, you knew the look like, but you didn't necessarily know the work like. I think Andy was getting at that. He's gotten at that in other places. We talked about the differences between men and women, and they apply so much in this arena when it comes to how men and women experience sexual pleasure. It's huge. It's very, very different. And the things that are involved, and no, we'll choose not to do specifics here, although we could, but what I'm saying is you need to learn. And you don't need to go on the internet and type in, you know, sexual intimacy, or you don't need to do that. There's certain, you know, even certain preachers and teachers you shouldn't be listening to when it comes to this. All right, but there are certainly, taking the scriptural principles, applying that in godly, truthful, appropriate ways that you need to go find. And there's great books out there on this. Right? For men particularly, the book I showed you, The Exemplary Husband by Stuart Scott's got a great chapter in there on just simply what physically is going on. Ladies, The Excellent Wife has a good one as well. Right? The Act of Marriage is another book that's good. Who's that one by? Ed Wheat, I think. Is that Wheat, The Act of Marriage? No, Intended for Pleasure is The Act of Marriage. Mahaney has a great one. What's it called? C.J. Mahaney, look for that. He also has a very good one just on some of the very specific physical nature of this. You guys, you need to know that. And if you're sitting here going, maybe there's something I need to know, right? I'm not talking some new trick or technique. I'm talking about the basics of understanding what's going on. Yeah, you need to know it. And don't pick up Cosmo because that's not going to help you. Okay, go somewhere spiritual that takes the biblical principles as well as practically then applies them in the physical realm. Because the Song of Solomon really does that in a lot of ways. Also, by the way. So ignorance. Guys, and this is huge. Just purely, and they're almost, it's almost never purely, physiological issues. Your body isn't working right. Because your bodies are complex things. This happens certainly to both men and women. Probably on the women's side, it happens because the body is much more complex. Man, you got a Tonka truck. Man, you have a Tonka truck. You bang that thing around, smack it around. Yeah, there are problems. It does happen, no doubt. But you can smack that baby around. It works fine. Ladies, you have a finely tuned Jaguar. What, 12 cylinders? All like individual sensors going on here, you know? And when one gets off, it just does not function. The engine is not firing at all cylinders. And men, you need to understand this. And ladies, you need to understand this. But it's like, that engine's broken. Not available for you. No Jaguar for you today. Okay? Yeah.
Jaguar's V12 is one of the worst engines they ever had.
That's right, because it's so sensitive. All right, but if everything worked perfectly, it would be sweet. And it hums and it purrs. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Dennis. For the mechanical side, I'm trying to recover. All right.
My wife's not here today.
That's right. Physiological issues, guys, come in all shapes and sizes. A good medical exam solves a lot of this. All right. Women are just like, you know, there's some women who's like, I just have never felt any sexual desire at all. What is the deal? I thought you said that we were always able to fulfill each other's desires, but I never even have desires. Certainly there can be physiological issues going on. But there are things that God designed to be in your body that we can help put back in there. Not we. Andy. Others. Okay? I'll tell you the wrong thing. You know, don't come to me. But go to a real doctor and find out what the problems are. Guys, and it is huge. And I know men and women who have struggled for years with things. They're just like mystified. What is going on? When it was really a pretty simple medical issue. Now again, it's usually more complex than that. It's usually kind of a spiritual, medical. They kind of all flow together. But guys, get the medical side. Talk about it. Figure it out, because there are people that will help you in this. And this is where you know, obviously science and medicine are of huge help, because they help provide those things which, you know, even without them. Ladies, to provide for your husbands, or men, to seek to bring pleasure to your wives, even if you are lacking some of those things, you're not removed from that command. But what a blessing if it's easier. If there is some more desire there, if things are working properly, what a blessing. And that's where medicine comes in. Please go find it out and work it out. Guys, undesirable appearance. Where you just, and I don't so much mean, you know, that you're not on your exercise program. I mean that you just let yourself go. You're not putting deodorant on, you know, you're just letting yourself hang out and turn into a sack, you know, whatever it might be, where you're not actively working at seeking to have appeal to your husband or to your wife. And so how appealing is that when you see you haven't done any work at all? It's like, hey, we should be able to have great physical intimacy, and you know, you're just a mess. Is it possible? Yeah. Is it desirable? No. Okay, so work on that. Ladies, work on it. Men, work on it. Ladies are often the ones that get the brunt of this. You should be good prepared. You should be, man, you work on this to where you are desirable in that sense. You know, we talked about picking apples last week, I think, and someone came up to me and said, I hate apples. I'm like, get a new metaphor. All right? whatever you want. All right, but picture that. But men, be that. And brush your teeth and put on your deodorant. And you know, if you can tune your body up a little bit, great. If you can't, guys, that's not the basis of this, but it can be helpful. And if there's something you can work on for the sake of your husband or wife, do that. And like I said, none of these are excuses. You still are to live out the spiritual principles. Exhaustion. Just so exhausted. I mean, really going to have great, desirable sexual intimacy when you're so tired you can't even keep your eyes open? No. You already know that. All right. You could probably tell me stories and I don't want to know them. You know, of just what physical exhaustion will do. That's just not going to happen. So you need to figure out a way to not be so tired. And I wrestle with this one where I'm just pushing myself all the time. It's ungodly for me to push myself too much so that I'm just too tired. I can't sit down without falling asleep. I can't stop moving without... That's not good. It's not going to be good for my sexual intimacy. It's going to be hard. Hastiness. Now, this usually has a variety of issues. Being hasty in the actual act of sexual intimacy... We just rush through it. Guys, that usually has other problems. The reason that it's so rushed is for fear issues and pain issues and just maybe other things that are going on. Just uncomfortability. But guys, just being hasty is it's going to cause great barriers. Because this isn't meant to be done in great haste. There are times when it can be, but it's just not meant to be that. And so those are some of the physical issues and physical barriers. So guys, if you're ignorant, get some information. And if you need more books that will lead you in a godly direction here, I'd be happy to tell you about them. Go see a doctor. Work on your appearance. Stop being so exhausted. And practice going slow. Practice going slow. Now guys and gals, sometimes that takes some huge practice. Sometimes it's a real wrestle for men because they can't. You need to work on it. And you work on it together so that you can move more slowly, so that you can please each other. That's how it works. And so, guys, it takes great, great humility sometimes just to work through these very physical issues. With one not despising the other. Well, you're so lustful, you just want to be in a hurry. That's not always the issue. got to learn how to communicate on that. Or you're so slow, you know, that just means that you're cold. That's not what that means, necessarily. So guys, work on the physical and physiological issues. And they're usually, by the way, going to be combined with other issues. But then there's lifestyle barriers, and that kind of relates. Lifestyle barriers. You're just too busy. Just too busy. And this is most often the excuse. This is your excuse for most everything, right? I can't spend time in the Word because I'm too busy, and I can't love my children well because I'm too busy, and I can't do this because I'm too busy. I use the same excuse, but I'm just wrong and sinful. You are never too busy to do what God commands. When I get to heaven, God's going to say, well, you know, I didn't mind you not being sexually intimate with your wife because you were so busy and you accomplished such great things for me. If you abandoned her and didn't give her pleasure and felt left her feeling like she was just there to be your maid because you were accomplishing such great things for me, he's going to say, they weren't great things for me. Again, this applies in many areas, but certainly in sexual intimacy. You're going to have to slow your life down a little bit, guys and girls, men and women. So busyness is a huge problem, and so this takes spiritual discipline, doesn't it? To rein your life back. You know, maybe a little less of the external activities for you or for the kids. Well, we're just going all the time. Stop. What's required? Really, what is required that you do with your children that is absolutely required, and you will stand before God, and he will say, you didn't do that with your kids, and so I'm holding you responsible. Well, spending time in the Word, praying with them, but probably not swimming, soccer, band, music. Are those things fun and good? Guys, my kids are in most of those things. But if I ever use them as an excuse to be too busy and then I can't be physically intimate with my wife and really love her and she can't be with me because we just don't have enough time, I'm just in sin is all I am. They're not required. So put them away. My children won't turn out to be the well-rounded individuals. Why don't you give them a well-rounded marriage, which includes joyful sexual intimacy? It's going to be a whole lot better than playing the trumpet or playing the piano. Okay? Give them that. They need that gift more than they need something else. All right, so this lifestyle, this busyness, then your children, they're barriers. Okay? They're barriers. They get in the way. They knock on the door. They're doing all kinds of stuff. And you're like, how do we even find the time? Where are we going to get away from our children? It was a little easier for me even 6 months, no, a year ago. No, 7 months ago, a little easier for us. You know, now I got two little ones that you know, if the door's not locked, barricaded, barred, you know, at any time of day or night, this can happen. Guys, that's a huge barrier to trying to be intimate together. All right, so figure out how you work around your children. Love them in the midst of it. It's not like they're, oh, well, these children, if they just weren't there, then I could be physically intimate. Think on that one for a minute, okay? All right, that's why they're there. But you need to find a way to work around them and not use them as an excuse. I'm just too tired because I'm taking care of the children. And it just I can't get my mind right because the children are in the house. The children are going to be in the house. Of course, then there are ways, right? You have somebody take the children out of the house. Why are you having me babysit from 2 to 5 in the afternoon? No reason. Wink, wink. Great. Guys, you know, my day off's Tuesday. Bring your children over. Why are you dropping them off? No reason. Guys, you got to do that. Call me. Okay, call me. And because my wife will bear the brunt of most of that, even though I'm off. So don't just show up with your 10 children. I had somebody do that in seminary one time. He had 6 children. And he didn't ask me. He just showed up at my apartment door and said, here are the kids. You can have them for a couple hours. And I could have been a real meanie stinker and said, you know, I'm taking your kids. But I say, of course I'll take your kids. He came back later and he said, I knew you would find such a blessing from taking my kids. This is what he said. Mike, you need to go to seminary a little more, man. You got a few more classes you need to take to realize how this actually works. Because it was a blessing, but it was your kids were a blessing, you weren't. Nonetheless, guys, work around your children. It's not an excuse not to be sexually intimate now that you have them. Because they weren't the primary reason for it in the first place. All done with children. Oh, there's another excuse. All done with the kids. So why do we need to do this? Because it is a foundation of your cleaving. Your leaving and cleaving. And so you need it there. Communication barriers. Oh, now, guys, we could just go on and on here. Okay, a couple of things. One, poor skills. Some of you men, you are so good at your jobs. You are so good. But you couldn't communicate your way out of a wet paper bag. Women, I'm not letting you off the hook. I know women who could not communicate to save their lives. It's a stereotype that says, well, men are great communicators, or terrible communicators, women, they're great. Often, hey guys, excess verbiage does not mean good communication. Or lack of verbiage, particularly when it comes to sexual intimacy. Because your communication skills are busted. You think you're going to be able to talk about sexual intimacy when you can't talk about how to get on the right page about your day? You wonder. Guys, you're going to have to learn how to communicate. You see, there's a bigger problem here. Learn how to talk to each other without being defensive. Oh, man. Someone brings up this sexual intimacy issue, and it's about you and some things that they would like to see different. Ooh, if you are defensive in other things, your defensive meter is going to be pegged. Because they're talking about your body. They're talking about your desires. They're talking about your deepest level of, again, physical exposure to another person. Oh, be so careful here. Because it is deep. This is not an easy thing. Someone's opening themselves up to you physically in this most difficult of physical areas. And so you're going to have to learn how to communicate about it. And be careful of sarcasm and offhanded comments and things like that just burrow into the heart of the other person when they've been trying to open themselves up to you and try to be sexually intimate with you. Guys, you have to learn how to communicate. And if you don't know how, again, the temporary wife, the exemplary husband, the excellent wife, lots of other great books, anything by Wayne Mack on marriage and communication, Strengthening Your Marriage by Wayne Mack, all of these things will help you. It all puts it together. But if you've got poor skills, you're never going to communicate well in the area of sexual intimacy. Avoidance, of course, that's a poor communication skill. But you've realized the moment you go here, there's instant flaring of defensiveness or anger or hurt or pain. You say, we're not going there. We tiptoe around that one. And every once in a while we get together just because it's kind of the nature of the thing, but we don't talk about it and we don't work through it because it's just too much pain here. Guys, you're going to have to go for it. And you're going to have to be strong to do that, and maybe you're going to have to sit down with someone else while they're there and do it with them to get you started. Because there is a lot of pain here sometimes. People don't want to talk about it. And then there's baggage. There's various baggage coming from other things. And you're bringing it into your communication, and so you bring it from your past, you bring it from other places. Remember, the past is influential even though it is not determinative. It is extremely influential on the way people think and the things that they do. You can't say, oh, the past, live in the present. Well, we live in the present on the basis of what happened to us in the past. Now, you can't go back there and fix that, but you got to fix the results of the past in the present, and that helps be able to look back and say, why is that the way it is? If you can. And then you fix it in the present. And so that baggage needs to be dealt with, and particularly in communication, and particularly in sexual intimacy, because there's often a lot of baggage. What did I learn at home? What did I see at home? Was there abuse that came beforehand? We'll talk about that in a minute. Were there these other things? So you gotta learn how to deal with that baggage, and particularly communicate and talk about it. Then there's mental and emotional barriers. Mental and emotional barriers. Abuse is a huge one here. Abuse, and that would be sexual abuse before marriage usually, or sometimes even in marriage, where there's this, and it is in one sense baggage, but it's just in the heart where there's been an abuse here. And it is most often women that enter into marriage with this being the case. Very occasionally men, but almost always women, and they enter in having been abused by a father, abused by someone that they trusted, abused by a neighbor. Now this has been rampantly blown out of proportion in our secular world. Whereas if somehow if this were to be the case, that you couldn't be sexually intimate with anyone after that, and it will mean years and years and years of problems and you can't ever fix it. Guys, that's just wrong. But it is an issue where it has happened. And it needs to be dealt with. And you might be, well, that's beyond me. Guys, the primary way to deal with that is patience, humility, gentleness, and a gracious love. You want to deal with abuse? Do it that way. There's some other things that can be helpful to sit down with someone who maybe has been there to know what the other person, she's trying to communicate what she's thinking when you're trying to be sexually intimate and this has gone on and you're having trouble getting that out. That can be very helpful. But particularly husbands, patient, kind, gentle, putting away your entitlement, putting away it has to happen now, putting away these things here and graciously. And ladies, putting away a fear, putting away this could never be because of this is what happened to me, putting away learning how to control and discipline your mind by the power of the Spirit so you don't go back to the things that you were at before and not just say, well, I give up, I can't do that. You can. By the power of God, by the Spirit strengthening your inner man. This is a huge issue. And it needs to be dealt with, though. It can't be an excuse to not continue on. Prudishness. a prudishness which comes from, well, you can't see my body, and it's usually that's happened because sex was dirty or wrong in my household, or my church taught that, and so there's this kind of this wall, this barrier. You can't see me when I'm you know, I'm naked, and these other things. It comes, guys, that's just a huge barrier, and it's usually driven by mental issues. Now, you're not supposed to be seen naked by anybody else, right? But you are supposed to be, you know, by each other. And so there can be just all these barriers that come around because of that, because somehow sex was seen as dirty. The sexual act was seen as improper. And so, man, if he's looking at me, or if she's, you know, she's looking at me, that's improper. It's not. It's husband and wife. I mean, we read all those passages, didn't we? Talking about the physical dimensions of each other and how they looked and desired and thought that was great. I mean, how are you going to see those things? So there can be this baggage of this prudishness which doesn't allow there to be an openness when it comes to this area. Of course, rejection. This is huge. Where you have sought to be sexually intimate, you have tried, you've worked on it, and you will reject it. Usually one time is not enough to do it. Two or three times, though, is. This is such a sensitive area. Where rejection that happened on the honeymoon leads to the basis of a life of difficulty in sexual intimacy for the rest of their lives when they don't deal with it. Because if you have been the one rejected, then again, patience, gentleness, kindness, working through it, refusing to be proud and bitter and arrogant in your own heart because they didn't respond to you, giving them another chance, all of these things that are just purely biblical principles are the way that you're going to deal with that. And if you have been the rejector, then your humility to recognize what you have done and to humble yourself and to go and apologize and ask forgiveness and work through those issues is huge. And if you continue to be that way, where you reject and without discussion, where you haven't talked about it and worked through it, you need to change. And you need to work on that. Well, no, not right now, or not today. Or there needs to be more than that. Whenever there isn't, no, we're not going to do it, or I can't do it now, or there needs to be more than that. Just stay away from me. That's not going to work. Even if it's later that you talk about it, you're going to have to go back and deal with that issue. So rejection is huge. And then learning how to work back in. Guys, it just takes great humility when you've been rejected to come back and say, I'm going to try again. And I'm going to try again. And I'm going to try again. Are you willing? Are you up for it? And maybe one day they'll respond to me. You keep trying. You don't give up. And I know it's hard. You're laying yourself out there when you do that. You need to be able to deal with it spiritually and work through the rejection. Of course, unmet expectations. Unmet expectations, where you wanted certain things to happen, you thought it would be a certain way, they don't over time, and so you solidify this anger and frustration in your own mind because it didn't happen the way that you wanted, and you don't receive the pleasure you thought you would, or whatever it might be. And you see how all this works together. Maybe that's a physiological issue, maybe that's an ignorance issue, could be a variety of things, but if you let the unmet expectation cause you to go hard and cold in this area, then you're not gonna progress in sexual intimacy. So I guess you're gonna have to work through it. Why is this? Is this just how it is? You know, you talk to other people. Don't do that when it comes to this. What's your experience? You know, how have you had? Don't do that. We work through it together. What is it supposed to look like? And certainly look at normal things. But you don't want to go to your buddy or you know, to your girlfriend and find that out. Because who knows that their marriage is normal or those things are to be expected. You need to find a norm here of what is right and good when it comes to unmet expectations. Then there's perversion barriers. Perversion barriers. Oh, these are so big. But we'll start with the first one, pornography. When men have been involved in pornography, and their wives are, you're not touching me. You were looking at her. And I know you do that. So you can't touch me. Now, first, man, you better understand what it is like for your wife to consider you gazing at someone else and thinking through and about her in your mind. You need to think about that. But also, ladies, you need to understand that is not the unpardonable sin. And particularly the way that men are wired, it is their area of weakness. It is one of their primary areas, and so they will struggle there. It's no excuse, but you have to, so men, you got to put the pornography away. Get the porn out of your mind, your heart, all those things. Memorize Scripture. One of the best things you could ever do, men, every single one of you, is memorize all of Romans 6. You start to have a lustful thought in your mind, and what do you say? What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? Because you've been excusing on the fact that God will forgive you later. May it never be. How shall we who die to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And that's just the start of Romans 6. By the time you're about there, men, the pornography is starting to fade into the background. And you step through the whole theology of sanctification in one chapter, and the length of it keeps you from jumping right back to the sinfulness that you wanted to be in before. No different for you ladies. Your lustfulness tends to come in a different way. And that would be next here, illicit romanticism. Illicit romanticism, where you have some kind of, I don't mean you have to read romance novels, you might not. But you have something in your mind that your husband ought to be and he's not. Or you replace your husband with your children. Or the other aspects of your family. Or you're cleaning your house. Or you're pursuing a career, whatever it might be. You replace him. That's illicit romanticism. You are finding your pleasure in an object other than your husband. And it's as bad, listen, it's as bad as pornography. God holds it equally against you. Well, I'm more spiritual because I don't look at naked women. No, but you don't think about your husband. And you replace him with other things. You are not more spiritual. That's your area of weakness. And see, husbands become resentful against that. Well, she won't give herself to me. There's all these other things that begin to happen. So just as you ladies grow resentful against the pornography, and I realize that's not exclusively a man thing, so the man becomes resentful against your ignoring of him. And he sees that as just as sinful, but you don't, and so you're having trouble coming together. See how that works? See, guys, both of these are perversions. And they need to be dealt with so that you can come together in the proper kind of sexual intimacy. And then there are spiritual barriers. Bitterness and anger. And again, they usually relate to a lot of those other things. Are you bitter against your wife? No, physical intimacy is not going to... It's just going to be lust for you if it is, men. And ladies, are you bitter against your husband? Then you're not going to have any desire to engage with him if you're angry at him. Refusal to cultivate delight. That's a spiritual barrier because Proverbs said we're supposed to delight. Song of Solomon says, women, you're supposed to delight in your husband and men, you're supposed to delight in your wives. You cultivate the delight. It's a spiritual problem when you don't. A lack of forgiveness, which is why you still have bitterness and anger. He did this back then, and this back then. It might have nothing to do with sexual intimacy. Nothing. It might. But you will not forgive. And so you won't be intimate. And then entitlement. That's a spiritual problem. I'm entitled to this, this often, this way, this thing. I'm entitled for you to stay away when I'm tired, whatever it might be. No, there's no entitlement here. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 7, didn't we? It's our duty to give to each other. Guys, I've only touched the surface, haven't I? I hope I've at least, for some of you, if you're wrestling with some of these issues, guys, here's my hope. But wait just a second. I know we got to be done. Just that you would say this. Okay, I'm not the only one. This is a real problem. I can deal with it. And either begin working on that or talk to someone so that you can actually step through these issues because they are spiritually solved unless it's a purely physiological thing, okay? So please talk to somebody. Please talk with each other. So that you might experience the joy that God would have for you in overcoming these barriers. Because think about it. When you overcome a barrier, you are looking as much like Christ as you possibly could. When you're repenting of sinfulness, working through these problems. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you care about our sexual intimacy, that you give us power to be intimate in the proper ways. And I pray for every couple here that you would grant to them your grace to see that their sexual intimacy together is a great gift of love to one another, and that they would again find joy in being together, again find joy in honoring you in this beautiful way. In your precious name, Lord Jesus, amen.